Good morning. God is good. Praise be to God that we can gather together again yet this morning as well. Praise be to God that we can gather together with other Christians around the earth at table. Today we celebrate the bounty of God's faithfulness to an unfaithful people, God's unending sacrificial love to a people who can be short-sighted and self-centered, God's mercy and grace freely given not on merit or on worthiness, but by God's freedom alone. Amen. Today is one of my favorite days of the liturgical calendar. It is World Communion Sunday, and along with Pentecost, it is one of the few days where the Church Universal, the Church Catholic with a little c, celebrates what it means to be in relationship with Jesus and with believers in Christ across the world. Together, across time and space, we partake in the sacrament of communion. It is amazing and a beautiful thought that in every hour of this day, there is some group of Christians gathering in small churches, in houses, in cathedrals, in campgrounds, in schools, in offices, in places of worship of all sorts, celebrating the gift of God and the sacrifice and resurrection of our Lord and Savior. God is good. Amen. All day long, before we even rose out of our beds, and long before we are snuggled back into them this evening, our brothers and sisters around the world will be partaking in the blessed gathering of the table of Christ. And they'll do it with different names and different traditions for sure. Maybe they will call it Eucharist or the Lord's Supper or Holy Communion or Communion or Absinthe. As far as we know, there is as far many different versions and beauty. And as we know and see on a regular basis, the Christian family comes from many beautiful and diverse perspectives. But it is God who calls us together by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is indeed worth celebrating today, but not just today. But every time we gather at table and worship in our homes and every table that we gather in, for God is good all the time and all the time God is good. I want you to repeat after me. God is good all the time and all the time God is good. Amen. This remembrance of God's goodness is expressed in the words of the psalmist as well. When the poet writes on behalf of the faithful, reflecting on the eternal greatness of God, we too are invited to partake in praise of our Creator. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens, and out of the mouth of babes you have founded a bulwark. Because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger. The psalmist is saying that God is in control. God can use the most vulnerable, most precious, most unlikely vessels, babes and infants, to change the expected outcomes in the world. To stop the wrongness that comes up against us. There is a declaration in this psalm to look for the source of good in light of the suffering. In these days of violence and pain, in these days of death and grief, in our neighborhoods, in our state, in our country, in this world, in the streets, in the courtrooms, on the campuses of our schools, in our homes, and in our minds, we too can declare the goodness of the source of all things good in the world. Amen. the source of healing in the world, the source of love in the world, the source that chooses to work through the most unlikely. Babes and infants, those perceived to be the least powerful, smallest. Yet God is inviting us to see anew. The psalmist is inviting us to sit before God's presence and acknowledge just how good God is, to acknowledge the power of the one who is working for the good of those afflicted, the one who, alone from nothing, made the heavens and the earth. It is written, "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars and all that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you even care about them?" Yet, this is miraculous good news, people. Yet you have made them a little lower than God. Some translations say a little lower than the heavenly beings or the angels. And you crown them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over your hands, and you put all things under their feet, the sheep, the beasts of the air, the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea. How majestic is your name in all the earth. We are blessed. Amen. God has blessed us. God has anointed us. God has called us. Humanity has a role. We have been crowned with glory and honor. Day after day, we may forget that, church. Amen. When the grind gets rough, we forget that, church. But know this day anew that you have been crowned with glory and honor. Humanity has been crowned with glory and honor. But for certain, we don't always operate out of that glory and honor. Amen? We seem to forget that we have been crowned, called, named, and claimed. Maybe that's why it's so important that we don't get it once in our scriptures, but twice in our scriptures. Our Hebrew text reminds us again, when speaking to the first century Jewish Christians, the words were important in this time of transition, time of squeezing, time of conflict, to hear again, "What are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? You have made them a little bit lower than angels, and you have crowned them with glory and honor, and you have subjected all things to their feet." God left nothing out of their control. A young lady spoke not too long ago, Angie, when she preached, that you can speak to things because God has given us that power. Amen. As it is so, we do not yet see everything under subjection, but we do see Jesus, who for a little while too was made lower than the angels. That is God flipping the first to the last. Amen. And Jesus was crowned with glory, the passage says, because of the suffering of death, so that by God's grace, Jesus might taste death for everyone. God in the person of Jesus made the first the last and the last the first. In the person of Jesus that we celebrate on this World Communion Sunday, we find the vessel of a babe who came into the world under suspicious, at best, scandalous, at worst, pretenses, and grew into this man who hung out with the powerless and the outcast, the least of these, the unwanted, and died a gruesome death on a tree-turned cross. Yet, This is the vessel for which we are offered glory and honor. This is the life that we celebrate as we follow Christ as Christians. This is the life that defeated death for our reconciliation and healing. This is the life that empowers us to do God's work still today. The life that empowers us through the very giving of His Spirit on Pentecost, this Holy Spirit that gathers us from many regions of this world to speak on one accord and continues to gather us from many regions and viewpoints to speak on one accord in honor and glory, specifically on behalf of the poor and the ill, the brokenhearted and the fearful, for the land itself, for the sky itself, for the sea itself. Still, God has placed us in this position of steward, caretaker of the earth and the animals, the land and the sea. God has done this. For certain, this has ecological and psychological implications. We are invited to be caretakers of the world. That's a mighty big call, amen? But praise God, we are never left alone in it. Over and over, we are fed, we are nourished by Christ through word and Christ at the table. Over and over, we are nourished in order to be able to live out and do this call before us. On this day, we also celebrate Ted and Gertrude, Joe and Bob, Aaron and Nicole as they renew their discipleship. And at the same time, each of us is invited to remember that we're all called as human beings to be vessels for healing and wholeness in the world that so deeply needs it. We have dominion over the earth. That can be a scary thing, amen? We have a call to care for this earth, realizing that, first of all, it does not belong to us, but we are called to care for it. We are called to be stewards, not violators of this gift, amen, that we are called to care for on a daily basis. We are called into communion, and therefore we must work together. We are called together in communion to come in unity with God and creation. We are called together in communion, not as individuals, but as a community. We do ourselves a grave disservice when we minimize the gifts of ourselves or others in that process. In our time of preparation for new members, we spoke of the Reformed theological tenet of the priesthood of all believers. We talked about the ways in which God, in His ultimate sacrifice through Jesus Christ, created the opportunity for relationship more directly. No longer is it necessary to go through another human intermediary for prayer or penance. Through Christ, we can speak with God. At the table and in our baptism and throughout our discipleship, God is constantly calling us His own. Christ is calling us His own. And through the person of Jesus, we are brought into deep relationship with our Creator, who Jesus calls Abba Father. Our Hebrew text alludes to the power of faith of all believers who experience the glory and the sufferings of this life just as Christ did. The scripture says, "It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, to bring many children, would do so, pioneering through their salvation perfectly through suffering. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have the same Father. For this reason, Jesus was not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, I will proclaim the name to my brothers and sisters in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you. Praise be to a Lord who calls us family. Amen. Praise be to a Christ who also calls us to call each other family. Amen. Around the world, Christians are gathering. And around the world, unfortunately, Christians are fighting. We have much to learn from each other. Amen. Havana-born theologian and church historian Dr. Justo Gonzalez, who I've had the pleasure of meeting on multiple occasions, said that the church must be one because a fragmented church is not much help to a fragmented world. If Jesus calls us siblings, why can't we call each other that too? We must do the work to be siblings, loving family with and for each other. We must not treat each other as less than just because we have different interpretations. We must not confuse our siblings for our enemies. We must lean into and partner with those who differ on issues, claiming first our siblinghood, our identity in Christ. We have much to learn from our brothers and sisters around the world. We have much to learn from our African brothers and sisters, where dancing and worship is a sign of the liberated Holy Spirit. Amen. We have much to learn from our European brothers and sisters, like the contemplative beauty of Taizé in France. We have much to learn from the passionate worship of our Latin American brothers and sisters, who hold central the transformative power of the Word of God. We have much to learn from the prayer practice of our Asian brothers and sisters, like Tong Tong Kido, praying in one voice from the Korean style and tradition. We cannot be complacent in who we are, and therefore create a lack of connection for humanity. As a whole has a calling to worship God, the God who knows us, made us, and knows what we are capable of doing better than we do ourselves. Today we celebrate that our brothers and sisters in Christ are all invited in deep relationship with each other. We in every time zone are called to do remarkable acts of healing and nurturing, loving and growing and peacemaking. We are empowered by the bread and the fruit of the vine. We are connected. We are made free. And yes, we will suffer, but we will be sustained because we are Christ's own. Remember, my brothers and my sisters, that we have been made a little lower than God, a little lower than the heavenly beings, and that each of you has been crowned with honor and glory. Thanks be to God, for God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Amen.